Hi, this is Kirk Duncan. You and I, let's talk. I have a chance to share with you an amazing experience that happened to me, and it's called the Million Dollar Prayer. I want to share with you a turning point in the life of Kirk Duncan. You may be faced right now with decisions in your life, possibilities in your life that you could choose from, or maybe you are looking at things and going, there's nothing here. Well, I can understand. I really can understand. I've been in all of those places before in my life. And this conversation that you and I are going to have, we're going to talk about a possibility that may be sitting in front of you that you did not know. Because for me, I didn't know it was there. I didn't even know it was a consideration for Kirk Duncan. You see, I grew up in Lander, Wyoming. And oldest of six, and mom and dad that were great. Our life at home was amazing. They loved us, great loving parents. I was a normal big brother, tormented my brothers and sisters like crazy. I think they still love me. I hope they still love me. But I grew up a normal kid, just normal. Things were just normal. And my dad and mom would do things, and we would go and enjoy things. We didn't have money. I mean, they had money to take care of things, but we just had enough to just barely take care of things. And so we made fun things happen out of normal, just life. Great family. Well, I didn't realize that there was possibilities that were going to be laid out in front of me that I could choose from, that I could be part of or not be part of. And little did I know that there was a million-dollar prayer that was going to happen at some point in my life. I remember when I was graduating from high school and, you know, I made mom proud with my 2.6 grade point average. And she was very happy that I actually did end up graduating from school. And I remember her commenting to me in the kitchen one time. I was sitting at the table, kitchen table, and I remember her washing dishes. And I remember her turning around going, you know, Kirk, you're meant for great things. You're meant to do great things. And I had the puzzled look on my face, and I remember just thinking, oh, this is just my mom, you know, mom's being great, you know, giving positive comments to her kids, making me feel special. But she was had that look on her face, like she was being serious. And, I mean, I just got my 2.6 grade point average. Wahoo. So I wasn't feeling too smart. I wasn't feeling, like, bigger than life. I wasn't feeling like I had, like, all these accomplishments in my life. A good kid, you know, had good tendencies. But come on, there wasn't a lot to brag about with me. A nice guy. Nice guy. But I remember my mom, I mean, as I'm telling you this, I remember her very vividly drying her hands on the towel as she's looking at me standing there in the kitchen. And she just paused as she made that comment to me. And her eyes got watery. Maybe her eyes were sweating. I don't know, that would be weird. But I think it could have been tears. Tears came up in her eyes. And in that moment, I felt something stir inside of me. Like she used her motherly skills or her motherly ways to get inside my soul. And she stirred something inside of me. I'm meant to be something great. And then life moved on. And I went out and did a service mission for my church. Came back, found a beautiful girl, Kim, married her, and we decided to live happily ever after. You know, just get married, the white picket fence, everything works out great, have some children, have a dog, have the fence, you know, just everything works great. Dad has a job, makes enough money, we have family dinners on Sunday, we go on family vacations every summer, and then life would go on, and then I'm done. Everything would be super great. Super great. Well, along the way, I, you know, that was in the back of my mind. I'm meant for something great. Or I believed it too. I really did. I really believed that mom had something there for me. And she would put that out there every once in a while, you know, and whatever I was doing, whatever job I was in, you know, whatever thing I was doing, she would say, wow, it sounds like you're doing really good in what you're doing. I also believe that there's something else out there for you, Kirk. And I really seriously thought all moms just do that to their kids. all moms, moms, grandmas, grandparents, whoever it is, are encouraging the younger generation to do better. You know, so it's all right. Thanks, mom. Appreciate it. Thanks for your comments. You know, thank you for the encouragement. You're a great mom. Thank you, mom. And I just figured whatever job I had, that's where I was going to be. Got in the workforce and started, had a job, and I tell her how great things were going. She goes, oh, that's great, Kirk. But there might be something else. So that was in the back of my mind. Well, as time was going on, had a job, had money come, had money go, you know, just things were happening. Worked for somebody else, worked for a company, going along. And all of a sudden I didn't feel satisfied in what I was doing. And, you know, it was the same old thing and I wasn't really good at it, but I did my best. And, we got hooked up with this, training, you know, 'cause it helped improve my mind. And maybe you're familiar with like self-improvement, and I wanted to like do better. And part of doing better meant that we were going to go to a ropes course. And I don't know if you've been to a ropes course, but it's like a gigantic jungle gym for kids. I mean, oh, that for adults. Okay, I always feel like a kid, but it was a place where you go and you do team building exercises and you face your own fears and you try to do things to change the way that your brain works and do things like that. Well, never been to a ropes course before, but here we go. We're at a ropes course. So there's different things that we do, like had to get from one island to the ship and not get eaten by the sharks. But we kind of had some people get eaten by sharks. There really wasn't sharks, but it was just this scenario. You know, we had to get over the wall together as a team within a certain amount of time without talking because we're breaking free of this prison camp that we're in. And then there was close our eyes and follow a string and try to unlock all the maze of how to get to the end. And just all these incredible experiences. And I was learning, and it was like cool, you know, oh, that was awesome. That was a big aha. And then came down to this part in the ropes course where you climbed up to the top of this tree or this perch. And out away from the perch, there was this metal ring that was suspended in the air that was hooked to a cable. And the idea was put on your helmet, put your safety gear on, get hooked to a rope, climb up the tree, stand on the perch, announce what you are jumping or leaping for, and then jump for the ring. You imagine that in the ring is that thing or that experience or that goal or that reward that you want, and you leap for it. And in that moment, it's to teach you something. So I saw, you know, I watched other people do that. And so I, you know, my turn, get my harness on and everything like that and get my helmet on. And it was really cool because, you know, and pay attention to what I'm about ready to tell you. And they went on to tell us that there was people that were safety people who are going to be holding onto the ropes. And there's two of them and there's ropes hooked to you and there's two ropes hooked to you. So to make sure that you don't get hurt when you jump, that you'll be safe when you jump. And you have a helmet on for safety. And these people are going to, certain people are going to be standing in certain spots to make sure it's all safe. And there was a team of people to make sure it was going to be safe so I could leap for something I want. There was people put in positions for safety so that I could leap for what I wanted. The facilitator then asked me, what is it that you want, Kirk? What do you want? And I, at this point, I heard everybody else come up with really cool ideas, and I didn't know what was like a really cool idea. So I just randomly picked, you know what? I'm gonna jump for $500,000. Yeah, that's what it is. I just threw something out, you know, just something exciting, something impossible. Because at that point in my life, I was working on self-improvement. I could barely even pay bills, you know, barely buy groceries. So then I started my hike up the crawling up the tree to get up to the perch. Well, I get clear up to the perch, and there's two facilitators at this event. And one facilitator was over at a different tree helping other people, and this one particular facilitator was helping me. And I had decided what I wanted. And I climbed up the tree and I got to the perch. And I'm an outdoorsy guy, so heights and trees and whatnot, it's like, it's a man thing. Just climb the tree and jump. Well, I was going about it in a very mechanical way. And the facilitator saw that and started to do things and say things that would help me get into my head so I could have a brain-altering experience. I don't know, what a program-altering experience. So what happened was, is I climb up the tree, I get to the top, I'm ready, and then you got to go through the safety parts of being ready, make sure the ropes are ready and everything. Then you get to this part where you announce what you want, and then you leap off the perch towards what you want. Well, right before I was about ready to leap, the facilitator goes, "Kirk, what do you want, Kirk?" And I yell down, "I want $500,000. And so then I thought it was my turn to jump and leap towards this ring. Right before I was ready to leap, the facilitator goes, "Why do you want $500,000? And I paused. And I looked at him down there on the ground. He looked very small. I looked down on the ground and I go, "I don't know. I guess I really don't want $500,000. And I started to climb back down the tree. The facilitator goes, "You get back up there." "No, I guess I really don't want it because I don't have a why. I don't have a why." And he goes, "But you picked it, $500,000. And I go, "I don't know why I want it, so I'm not going to do this." And I started crawling down the tree. The other facilitator down the road saw what was happening, come running up the road. "Kirk Duncan, you get back up that tree right now. You're going to jump." And then we had this battle for a while. Quite a scene. I'm kind of stubborn. My wife could attest to that. And I finally get back up on the perch, and the new facilitators are there going, "Kirk, what is it that you want?" And I said, "You know what? I just want to be able to just do what I'm here on earth to do." And she goes, "Well, jump for that." And I go, "But I don't know what it is." She goes, "It doesn't matter. You just leap. You just go for it." I go, "But I don't know what it is." She goes, "Just decide that you're going to leap for something." And so I announced to everybody down there, "I'm going to go for something." And I announced that, and then I jumped. Jumping as hard as I can, reaching my hands out as far as I can reach to grab that ring, that metal ring hanging, dangling out there in midair. And as I jumped, my heartbeat stopped. My brain screams at me, "You're going to fall." And another part of my brain goes, "It's okay, we have harnesses on." But that part of my brain that wants me to stay alive is, "But you're gonna get hurt." And the other part of my brain goes, "But you're gonna be safe." And as I jump towards the ring, I completely missed the ring. Other people totally grabbed it. And I totally missed it. And as I missed it, and what I was leaping for wasn't able to be grabbed upon, then I went into panic mode that I was falling towards the ground. And then the feeling of, I'm going to die. If I jump for something that I want and I miss it, I just might die. Then the ropes went tight. They stopped me as I fell halfway from where I was towards the ground. These two ropes, these two harnesses, the harness that was on me, these two ropes, the safety guys that were holding on to it, were able to hold, with all the pulleys and everything, were able to hold the weight of Kirk Duncan from falling and crashing and hitting the ground. And in that moment, a brand new message was sent into my mind. You can be safe as you jump for something that you want. I just didn't know what I wanted. Rope course over. Time goes by. Time goes by. My wife and I are doing our best to take care of our family, take care of our children, you know, nurture our marriage, pay bills, pay the house payment, keep house repairs up. Really hard, really struggling. A lot of these things are happening. And I kind of shied away from that thing that I was supposed to do with my life. What is Kirk's mission? I mean, because at this point, I'm just small. You know, I'm just Kirk Duncan from Land or Wyoming. I mean, I'm just a kid. I'm a guy. You know, I'm just a person. I'm just a small person. I don't have like super giant ideas. I don't have this kind of stuff going on. You know, me do something big. Oh, come on. There's no way. Time keeps going. Time keeps going. Well, my wife and I found ourselves in a very, very difficult situation financially. We had hit a point where things were not coming together anymore with money. And literally was starting to have really big problems. I remember one time I was reading my historical documents, or other people call them scriptures. And I was reading those because I'm a spiritual guy and I like to study history and study what is being taught of how to live a good life. And I came across a word that is called hedged. And in the verse it said, and their ways were hedged up. And I scratched my head for a while going, hedged up? What does that mean? Went and looked it up. It means that as a person is moving forward, something is in the way to keep that person from moving forward. I went to my wife and I asked her, I said, honey, I think we're being hedged up. And she goes, what? I think we're being hedged up. I think there's a hedge in our way and we can't move forward with this money thing because something's going on. I can't figure out what could be going on. And we kind of, you know, like, okay, that's interesting. Well, times go by. Things start getting worse and worse. And okay, so something's up. Well, then I came across another section that said, you know, there are those who are going to be compelled, and then there are those who compel themselves. This is on a spiritual level, you know, this whole compel thing. And I was reading it and it said, those who compel themselves will be greater off and receive the greater reward. Those who compel themselves. And those who have to be compelled, it's not good. Let me just paraphrase. It's not good. Those who have to be compelled. Again, I found myself scratching my head going, compelled? I'm not being compelled. What am I being compelled about? So I had this on my mind, hedged up and being compelled. Well, during this, while this is going on, I was working for a different company, working for them. Things were okay. I did the ropes course and I've got this compelled thing going on. What could I be being compelled about? I wasn't putting the two together. The fact that my mom says I have this mission to do and she's being a cute mom and she's doing her work, you know, encouraging her son. And then I'm picking up on these signals that I'm being compelled and it's not good if I have to be compelled or pushed along. But then all of a sudden I got this hedge in my way and I can't go forward. And then I didn't realize it in the moment, but I was having money problems and things couldn't come together. And it's as though somebody was trying to get my attention. And if you're spiritual or not, it's just go with me on this training that we're going to be together on. The fact is this, there's a power out there that's bigger than us. Come on, something's running the universe. Something's holding all these things together because there's a lot of things going on. Something has to be managing all these things. And in this time, I'm going to call it a higher power. So I didn't realize it in the moment, but my higher power was trying to get my attention. Kirk's got something to do with his life. And Kirk's not paying attention, so I'm going to hedge up Kirk's way. Kirk's heading a certain direction, and it's not the right direction. So I'm going to throw a hedge in front of Kirk, and he's going to get stopped. And he'll probably sit there and moan and groan for a while and not realize it's a diversion to go a different direction. So I'm going to compel Kirk to go into the hedge. So I get him from both ends, being hedged and compelled. And to me, it's called a state of misery. When everything is not working the way that I thought it was going to work. Well, another part that was happening to me at this time was my heritage. Of course, we all have our ancestors and their tendencies have moved forward and they're in our cellular makeup of who we are. Deep down inside of our cells, there's a design, a plan. And what was ever in my mom and dad and what was ever in their parents has been passed down to me. So I'm the collection of all these designs and programs and details based upon my ancestors. And inside my mom, she comes from a wealthy mindset. And inside my dad comes a hardworking, you must sweat and work hard to get whatever you want. And if you're not working hard and long with hours and sweating and getting hurt, you're not earning anything. So I have these two different ancestral lines inside me. At this point in my life, when I was being hedged up and compelled, I was stuck in the mode of, I got to work hard. I got to work long, hard hours and sweat and moan and groan and get hurt and get cut. And that means I'm valuable if I do those things. How could I ever be somebody who could go out and do something big with those kind of things going on? Well, an opportunity came. I had a friend who had a business that they were going to, she was going to sell. And I jumped on it. And she sold me this business. And it's very, very simple, simple little business about teaching people how to get referrals and how to build their business. And I had been starting to do a little bit of training with her and training for her. And so I bought her business. So now I have this business and where I'm going to start trying to get out of the corporate world and to go do my own business. And at first, when I first started, I was really scared. You know, I'm just a simple guy. I'm a small person with small ideas, and we're going to keep this really small. So my thoughts were, all I want is a cell phone, and all I want is a little box to have all my notes in it. And that's it. And I'm going to go put my desk in the garage, and it's going to be a garage business. I'm going to keep this nice and small. For some reason, the hedge was still there. The compelling me was pushing harder on me. And times at home were getting tougher and tougher along the way. My problem was I was afraid of people. I didn't think I was very smart. I didn't think I could change people's lives. And it just wasn't working. It wasn't working. Financially, month after month, it got worse and worse and worse. Oh my goodness. What was going on? What was I doing wrong? What was I doing wrong? I kept trying to figure out how I could work harder to make things work. How do I work harder? How do I work longer? There's only so many hours. And how many places do I drive? How many people's lives do I fix? How do I do this? How do I make this come together? I couldn't see an end to what was happening here. Until I decided to specifically, really specifically, say a prayer and really get down to the nuts and bolts of, okay, higher power, God, what am I doing wrong? What direction am I to go? You finally have my attention. I mean, you guys, moments before this, my wife and I would lay in bed and just sometimes in the middle of the day and just cry. I'm not kidding. We would just cry. We would cry so much that the tears would go down the side of our face and go into our ears because we were laying on bed staring at the ceiling, that the tears would go down our eyes, out our eyes, down our cheeks and fill up our ears like a little lake of tears in our ears. Like we would be sobbing day after day after day because we could not figure out why that we were being compelled and why we were being hedged up. And I didn't know at that time that I was still avoiding who I was going to become. So we would kneel down and pray, and we'd pray together, and we'd ask for guidance. We'd ask for direction. And I remember this one particular moment where I was kneeling down to next to my bed, and I finally, with all the pressure of the financial pressure, and all the hedging and all the compelling and everything that was going on, I mean, realizing that, yeah, I'm working, I'm doing this, but what am I going to do here? What am I supposed to do? I remember just getting very clear in my head and very focused. I'm kind of, you know, I go off on tangents and I think about a lot of things, so it was really difficult for me to focus, but it finally, my circumstances finally got a hold of me to where now I'm focused. And I asked, who am I going to become? Who am I? Instead of asking, what should I do? I changed my question to, who am I? Who am I? Because I don't think I realize who I am. And in that moment, when I switched my questions, when I realized that if I can't get an answer, I've got to change my question. I can't keep asking the same question and think I'm going to get the answer. Maybe I'm asking the wrong question. So I changed my question. Who, instead of what do I do, or what am I supposed to do, or what I do wrong, I decided to figure out maybe this is about who I am. And I asked, well, who am I? Who am I? And this image came into my mind. This image came into my mind of who I am. And I saw a glimpse of myself. I saw a glimpse of myself being a teacher and teaching people, and that everything in my life was taken care of. And those things that I taught people were great, powerful principles that supported people to find more truth and to find more great things. That I was not the place where people were going to come to and stay, but that I was like a waypoint. Like they were going to come to me, learn things because they couldn't find it somewhere else, and they'd find it, but then that would help them go find more truth. And then they'd go on their way to find more truth. That I was not the landing spot, and it wasn't up to me to be responsible for all these people, but it was for me to realize, this is who you are, Kirk. And I need you to be right here, Kirk, because then people can see you and they can come to you and they can learn from you. And when they learn from you, they're going to give you compensation for what you're doing. And because of that compensation, you're going to be able to take care of your family. And those people are going to be happy because what they're going to learn from you is going to be powerful. And you're going to be okay financially. And you're going to be able to hire people. You're going to be able to provide people jobs. And your business is going to grow to this huge thing where you're going to be able to provide income for people and training for people. And they're going to feel like they owe you more money because they feel like they got more value than what they paid for. Oh my gosh. I'm sitting here seeing this image in my mind. And inside my mind, when I saw that image, all of a sudden I thought to myself, oh my goodness, I can be spiritual. And wealthy. Wealthy with knowledge, wealthy experience, and financially, it's okay to have money. Like for the first time in my life, all of a sudden it dawned on me, are you serious? It's okay to have things, and it's okay to have money, and it's okay to have enough money to hire people. It doesn't have to be a struggle. I don't have to sweat. I don't have to cut myself. I don't have to be bruised. Like, it's okay. And in that moment, this whole new concept hit me. I can do this. I didn't know that the possibility was there. I didn't know the opportunity was there. I had to be hedged up and compelled and then pushed into this place where everything financially was falling apart until finally it got my attention to go, Kirk, reconsider who you are. Reconsider who you are and reconsider what you're becoming, and then get that image in your mind. And go, Kirk, go be that person. Oh my gosh. After I saw that image, I started reviewing in my mind, but I'm just a little Kirk. I'm not smart. I barely passed high school. I'm unorganized. I'm a high level introvert. I hide. I'm not social. You know, I'm great at being number two. I am super at being number two. One of those coaching sessions I was in, everybody in the class had to line up, and I was lined up as number two. I would always make sure somebody was in front of me. Somebody else was in front of me. I didn't want to be number one. I wanted to be a great number two. I mean, I'm a great number two. I don't want to be number one. But me? Look at me. There's no way. And then I realized, as I move forward to become this image that I saw inside me, that I'm going to have to work on these things. I'm really going to have to work on these things. I stayed there on my knees for quite a while, pondering on that image. It totally shocked me. And I remember asking myself, or at least the question crossed my own mind, is this only for me? And the answer was immediate. No, Kirk. teach others that they can have the same thing. Teach others that they can have this lifestyle too. Teach them that if they will believe and remember who they are and that this is what they're to become, as long as they have a good heart and a good mind, that they can be wealthy and spiritual. Go teach them, Kirk. Show them. You prove it first. You prove it. Show them that it can be done. Because if you just tell them, they're not going to believe you. Show them that you can change your lifestyle, that you're not stuck in a groove. You're not stuck there. Go. And, oh my gosh, my blood started to pump through my body. My heartbeat started picking up. And I was like, are you serious? Oh my gosh, it's not just me. It's not just me. The neighbor down the street, my friend, this person, that person I just saw yesterday, they all can be this way. They forgot. They just forgot. They just don't know. They just don't know. They don't know that we can be wealthy. And in my mind, when I was growing up, to be wealthy means that you're a millionaire. Means that you have a millionaire mind and that you can think about things and money can come to you and you have plenty of money. And I've always thought to myself that if you had $1 million, everything's going to be fine. And so when I was getting up from my bed, I sat there and I thought, oh my gosh, this is like the $1 million prayer. This is like my little garage business. It could grow. It could like go. Things can work. We can do this. I can do this. And the reason I can do this is because I remembered, or I was reminded, that it's in me. That it's in me. The very next month was the best month I've ever had in my business. Of course, my wife and I talked about the prayers that we were having and the things that we were learning. The very next month for her was her largest month ever in her business. And from that point on, everything has grown. For the last 4.5 to 5 years, it's been on a constant, steady, crazy, amazing, miraculous growth. That realization, the realization of what's there, of what possibility lies inside of you, my friend that I'm talking to right now, that's listening to my voice. Yeah, it's you. You have it inside you, this millionaire inside of you. I mean, if you want to consider the money on the planet, there's enough money on the planet for everyone to have $1 million. They've already calculated it. Take all the money on the planet and divide it up equally. Everybody can have $1 million. It's out there. Little did we know that if we dive in spiritually or intuitively inside of us, one of the key factors that's going to make a difference in who we are or what we can accomplish is knowing who we are. Knowing who we are. And that we can have permission to have money and build your ideas and go out and turn it into a business. Yes, I said business. I said a business. You know, we get in our skin and get in our mind that a business is like a brick and mortar building. You know, you drive down the street and there's a building and there's a door and you walk inside and there's a business. And like somebody else has created these businesses and you can't have a business because you're not one of those people or you didn't get invited to the meeting to build a business. I want you to know right now, if you have a pad of paper, if you have a pad of paper and a pen or a ground and a stick, if you can start etching your ideas of what you believe is true and what works on this earth and that it can create some happiness and some growth and some freedom, you can create a business. You can create something that can financially break your family free. Come on, if I can be moved upon and inspired from my garage to start out with a little cell phone and a little box and a pad of paper and now create a multi-million dollar company and be able to also have so many different programs and so many different audio recordings and have a mentoring program and have all these different pieces and parts, oh, my friend, you so can do this too. You so can do this. It's not just a Kirk thing. It is you too. You just need to say that $1 million prayer. And if you're not churchy, just still talk. Talk to the clouds, the heavens. Look upwards and just have a conversation upwards and ask, who am I? get that glimpse of who you are, and then take what you've been learning, take your struggle, and turn it into something that you can teach people. I learned from one of my friends, Sherry Burton, I learned from her that your mess is your message. Your mess is your message. Whatever problems you have in your life, that's the message to go teach. And if you take that mess and that message and you go teach people, what's going to happen is you're going to get compensated for your struggles and your pain and your sacrifice. And now you can also be benefited for it, and you can go break other people free and help the whole human race not have to go through everything you went through. You can save people time. And when you save people time, you get compensated. You, my friend, have inside of you a mess somewhere, some problems going on. And you're finding solutions of how to get out of it. You so can create a business from the garage. You just have to say that million-dollar prayer. Find out who you are. See value in it. And then realize you got to go teach people. First and foremost, it's always about teaching people. First and foremost, it's always about teaching the people. Help the people, help the people, help the people. Rule number one is you love the people. You got to love the people. You know, and I make it sound like as soon as I realized this, I had it all figured out. Let me share with you some mistakes I made along the way. I tried to do my business by myself. When you do it by yourself, you're going to stay very, very, very small. Okay, so mistakes I made is this. I felt like every person I was teaching, I was personally responsible now for all the choices they're going to make in their life. That is not true. That is a lie. You might have a little voice try to tell you those things. But what is truth is you tell them truth, you offer more truth to them, then they govern themselves by making their own choices. They have their own free will and choice. It is not up to you to save people. And that goes into my mistake number two. I remember one time a lady came to me and she goes, "Oh my gosh, you sure learn a lot. You're really smart, Kirk. Can you come to my house and fix my husband?" I said, "Sure." I went to their house, thinking to myself, what did I just do? I pull up, I go inside, the husband's sitting at the table, she sits down, she asked me to sit down, she points at her husband and goes, "There he is, fix him." And he just sat there looking at me, and I said, "Hi, how you doing?" He goes, "What are you going to do to fix me?" And right there I realized, I just did something really bad. And I looked at him, I said, "You know what? I'm really sorry. On the way here, I realized I can't fix you." And he looks at her and says, "See, I knew nobody could fix me." And then we had a conversation, and it turned out really good. And he learned some great things. But what the next mistake you might be making is, or along the way, as you go to create your ideas into a way to be able to go help other people, build an opportunity to teach people from your experiences, is you might think you got to fix people. Like you're the one who has to be the complete mechanic to make sure that the engine runs. That's not your work. Your work is to offer solutions to them, let them choose what solution they want to follow. You're not the mechanic that only gets paid if the engine runs. We are in self-improvement. And what that means is you teach from your experiences and you teach everything you can and let them govern from that point if they're going to use it or not. So me going from where I was being hedged up to where I am right now, it's one of those mistakes that I had to quit making, thinking that I had to fix people all the way down till their engine totally hummed and was functioning properly. Okay, another problem that I kept doing was this, is I thought that every student or every client that I had to personally hang out with them every weekend. If I met a new client, they wanted to get to know me better because, you know, I was still new and I didn't really have a lot of things that I was doing. And so, "Hey, what are you doing this weekend, Kirk? Let's go do something." I mean, of course, they wanted to hang out so they could learn more from me. And they want to just enjoy that space that was around me. And that one will get you in trouble. If you start out thinking you have to personally hang out with everybody that you are teaching or helping or whatever your avenue that you're choosing here, your brain is going to find a limit, maybe of about 20 people, and then go, "That's all we can handle." Because we feel like we have to hang out with everybody and there's not enough time in a week and it's taking time away from the family. And then some sabotage starts to happen, and it cuts down on the number of clients that you can actually have. And if you currently have already started your own business, and you find that you've plateaued or hit a limit of number of clients and you can't figure out why you're not adding more clients, that program may be going on in your mind right now that you have to personally know them, take care of them, and be part of their life, and you've reached your maximum capacity. You've seen that in restaurants where you walk in and there's a little sign on the door that says maximum capacity, 212 people. In your brain, there's a little sign that says maximum capacity. And if you think everybody's got to be in there at all the same time, you're going to hit your max and then no more new clients, which then means a limit of the amount of resources and money you can have to go help more people. So you let them go. You imagine they come in your life, you assist them, and then they leave your life. You can still know them, be friends with them, but it doesn't mean you have to hold brain space for them. When I meet people and they want me to help them with their garage business, you know, because they had their $1 million prayer and they're building their own personal business, when they hit a level where they can't add more people to their team or number of clients, I ask them, what is the maximum capacity of people you feel like you can manage? And every person I've met has a number. They did not know that they had a number. So when they found their number, I asked them if they'd like to keep the number or if they'd like to adjust the number. And of course they wanted to adjust the number. So then they adjusted it. One person had a maximum capacity of 100. And I asked them, what would your new number like to be? And they said, I'd like 10,000. And then they had this huge smile on their face. They went from 1 month to the next month to be the top salesperson in their company. It was awesome. It was so awesome to see that happen. Be careful of your maximum capacity. Adjust that number. And that comes from the tendency of, okay, I can only have a number of friends because I only have a number of hours, which means I can only have a number of activities, and that's where it ends. Going from a regular, normal person like where I was and like where you are, what happens is you got to adjust the way that your brain works. You got to move that up to the next level so that it can function better. And then what that means is changing the number of people that is the maximum capacity. But Kirk, what if we want to have a unlimited number of capacity? That's fine. You choose whatever you want. You choose whatever you want. And be ready when large numbers of people start showing up, you got to move to the next solution. The next solution is you've got to hire someone. You've got to hire somebody. Yeah, already get it in your mind. You know, if you have a mission that you want to go change people's lives, quickly get in your mind, who am I going to hire to help me do this? That part I struggled with big time. Big time. I didn't want to hire somebody because then that meant that I got to like teach them how to do things. They're going to make mistakes. And oh my goodness, first person I hired, I fired him. Next person I hired, I fired him. Next person I hired, I fired him. I mean, I was bad. I didn't know how to do this. And I told my higher power, I don't know how to do this. If this is my mission to go teach people, help. Help me know how to do this. And I'll tell you, a good place to come from is being willing to make a little bit of a mess. If you're willing to get messy and clean it up, you're going to do just fine creating a business that's going to become a $1 million business from your own home, from your own home office, or from your own garage. Got to be willing to go there, though, because you got to have that millionaire mindset that you can have that. And you can't get there by yourself. Sure, there's internet businesses and whatnot, but still, it's going to consume you. You got to have somebody else to assist you. Got to be able to allow somebody else to assist you. And as soon as you hire your first person, get it into your mind, when would be the best time to hire my next person? You see, because that's a mindset of growth, and it's called a mindset of expansion. If you're willing to hire another person, those clients and possible clients out there will feel that you've expanded your capacity to include more people, and then they will refer people to you. If you're not getting referrals for what you're offering people, then what happens is there's no space. You got to open up your mind. Got to open up your mind. And come on, you're very entrepreneurish. You want to create and build, but you're making some of these mistakes that keep it limited, which makes it frustrating. And then you got to go get a normal job. And then you don't complete your mission. And then you're going to get hedged up and compelled. And then you're going to have problems. And then financially, you're going to be back in the dumps and realizing, oh boy, I got to start all over again. So be willing to hire the next person. Always be willing to think, okay, who's the next person? Like right now, currently, when I'm doing this and I'm talking to you right now, I have in my mind the next three people I'm going to hire, the next three positions. It used to be one by one, but now it's like two and three at a time that I'm hiring. Got to get ready for growth. I always believe that there's more growth out there. Okay, the next one is this. Burn the bridge. Burn the bridge. I read somewhere in history that there was a gentleman who had some ships and they took him from one country to another country and he was going out on an exploration. Sorry, I don't remember who it is, but I bet you could look this up. It's called Burn the Ship. What happened is he went to this other country and he needed to move into this other country, but he knew that his guys could chicken out and could back off. And I believe it also was there was some kind of war going on. I'm probably totally slaughtering this, but the concept is, let's get to the point. The concept is this. As soon as everybody got off the ship, the leader gave the command to burn the ships. And when the ships got burned out in the bay, all his guys realized there's nowhere to go. We got to move forward. And so they moved forward. Now, I don't know if he was a good guy or a bad guy, but the part is that the concept here is we got to burn the ship or burn the bridge. And what that means is if you're going to follow your mission and you're going to take your experience and you're going to go out and teach people, you can't have an option to go get a job. You can't have an option. You got to be able to just go full blast, full blast. When I meet people who are trying a business, keyword trying a business, and I ask them, if this doesn't work, what would you do next? If they have another option, they're not going to give all of themselves to that original idea. If you have backup plan B, instead of following your mission and following through and teaching people, you're not going to do it. You're so going to take the chicken exit when it gets hard, because it's going to get hard. You're going to be tested and tried along the way. It's part of the game. You got to be qualified. Got to be qualified to get to the level of going out there and helping people. But come on, if I can do this, you guys, I'm serious. If you knew who I am and what I've gone through, it took me many years to get to where I'm at. You could definitely do it faster than I did. Okay, so one of the tips here is remove all options for you to be able to go get a different job. And I'm telling you, it caused quite some discussions between my wife and I, because there was other people around me saying, Kurt, go get a job. You're never going to make it as a trainer. Kurt, go do this. Kurt, go do that. Here's a job, Kurt. You don't have any money. Go get a job, Kurt. But I knew I needed to do my next suggestion, which means I'm going to mentally die trying. I'm so going to give every ounce of effort I got. And seriously, you will find out if you really want to be a messenger of what messages inside of you, when you are willing to just give your life for it, and that you're going to hold tight to that message, and that you're going to just go out there and figure it out. When all other resources have been depleted, when all other people have been depleted, and all other techniques and all other skills, you're going to find how to do it. But you got to go through all the back and forth and the back and forth of figuring out what works, what doesn't work, what works, what doesn't work. And so that you can hone your skills. And when you hone your skills, it's so going to serve you as you begin to perpetuate and pick up your frequency in your success. Be willing to go through embarrassment. Any messenger has got to face some level of embarrassment somewhere. Standing up and delivering the wrong message, saying wrong words, spelling things wrong, not having the right education, having problems, forgetting things, dressing wrong, underdressing, dressing too sharp, booger hanging out of your nose. I mean, just, oh my gosh, the mistakes that I've made along the way. embarrassment is a massive stopper. A massive stopper. Do not, please, please do not let it stop you. Please do not let embarrassment stop you. On an average every year, I watch a good 30, 40 amazing trainers get sucked up and eaten up by embarrassment. Oh, they make it all about something else like money or blah, 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 blah. But I watch. As soon as they have a massive embarrassing moment, the majority of people quit. But not you, my friend. Because you said, you know, you went and had your million-dollar prayer. You realized that when you prayed, it's okay to have $1 million. And it's out there for you. Financially free. For you, your family, your spouse, you know, for what you're doing. You so can be financially free if you follow through with what you've been given. I really believe that a good-hearted spiritual person who has a message inside of them can be financially free for them and their family so that they do not have to be trapped by financial chains and bonds, that they can be free. Because when you're free, you'll be more influential in your message and that you'll inspire people to find out why they're trapped. My friend, go say that million-dollar prayer. Find out what message is inside of you and who you are so that you can go accomplish this too. It's not just a Kirk thing. It's going to take a team of people, and they're out there. When you're willing to accept people to be on your team and you're clear about who you are, even at the tiniest bit, you don't have to know the whole story, but you are sure of who you are and you get going, you're going to see that all of the heavens above are going to jump in and help you. They're going to help you because in your mind, there's $1 million business. There's $1 million business in there. You follow everything I just said about avoiding those very common, very dangerous pitfalls that I just shared with you, those problems that are tendency in people's minds who try to make a go at it no matter what business you're doing. And also you take on the solutions of, you know, you got to burn the bridge, you got to face embarrassment straight on, and you got to build a team. Be willing to add them to your team. And there's plenty of information on the internet to know how to do it, what to call their positions, how much to pay them. All that's already been done out there. There's tons of information out there. All that's left is your willingness to build and create what you're being inspired to do. And you might have a little sliver of chicken inside you, or you might have the scent of chickenness. But today's the day to quit doing that. Just listen to me here as you are pondering on the things that I've taught you here. You got to leap. You got to jump. Even if you don't know what it is or what it's going to look like, be willing to get out there so that you can stop being compelled. Get your name off the list of being compelled. And you let that hedge that's in your way get out of the way, because now you're going to go fulfill your mission. You're going to be that teacher that's out there, either one-on-one as a mentor or one-on with a group of people. It's inside you to go teach what you're being inspired to deliver. And it's in you. It's in me. And you got this audio recording because you needed this last little oomph here to get going. This is a great part of my audio library for you to remember and to review often. Because there's some very important steps here. And you listen to this all over again. And just listen carefully. Listen carefully. And know that I understand the pain and the frustration and the disappointment and the shame that you're going to go through, the mockery that you're going to go through. It won't last very long as if you really hold to what you need to do. And this is, if you're stubborn, this is where being stubborn will really serve you very well. When everybody else is trying to distract you, you just tighten up your stubbornness and you just let people know, I have a message and I'm going to deliver it. And it is okay, and it is approved for you to receive compensation for that message, and it is okay to have your portion of $1 million that's on the planet that can come your way. You know it's out there. And how great is it going to feel when those bills show up and you can just pay them? When the house payment shows up, you can just pay it. When you want to go out and do something fun, the money is there. When your kids want to have those shoes, you can tell them, just choose a color, whichever one you would like. When you want to surprise your spouse or your girlfriend or your boyfriend and do something fun, you have the funds to do it. And that you can enjoy the benefits of being willing to deliver your message. Messengers on the planet who are obedient and willing are taken care of because they will sacrifice what it needs to be done to get to that point. And they are obedient and they'll deliver the message that needs to be delivered. And they will not back down. Those are the people who are going to shape and move the people on the planet. And they've got to be taken care of so that they don't fall by the wayside. Please trust me what I'm telling you. I'm not pro money over spiritual things. It's all, you heard my rules. Rule number one, love the people. It's all about the people. It's all about the people. It's all about the people. You got to get out there and talk to the people first. And then when they are like, well, what can I buy from you? How can I buy your time? Let them give you money. That's a whole different audio recording called Money Friends. If you have challenge with receiving money, go pull out the Money Friends CD and listen to it again and get that solved inside your head. We have a work to do to change people's lives. Don't let money stop you. Don't let the environment stop you. Don't let your head stop you. Don't let all these things that I told you in here stop you, or even your ancestral line stop you. Get out of being confused and get clear and go say that million-dollar prayer. And realize you can be wealthy and spiritual. You can have both. My life has proven it. And whatever God decides to do with me from this point on, I totally trust him. Makes me nervous because things are always changing. And I just keep telling him, I'm so willing to just move forward. 5 years ago when I made that change, he has not done anything to hurt me in any way. And I totally trust that direction. So my friend, go for it. Totally go for it. Go say that prayer. Get some clarity of who you are, not what to do next. Get clear on who you are, then you'll know what to do next. Thank you again for allowing me to spend some time with you and share with you some of my experiences and some of my understanding. My intention is to hope to save you some time, some effort, and some energy as you move forward. And consider this, there are many people out there that are searching for truth, and you could be one of those people to be the director of where to go find more truth. Let them find you so that you can direct them of how to find more truth. You've been called upon to be one of these teachers on the planet. Get after it. Sign up. Raise your hand. Go say that prayer. Get that decided inside of you and go take some action on it. And just know that I'm out there and I'm also doing the same thing. And I'll cheer for you when I see you and you cheer for me when you see me. And let's go get this work done. Let's go get it done and help more people break free. That's what it's all about. That's what it's all about, is be able to create more freedom. Thank you, my friend. It's been an honor to chat with you.